but they want their elected leaders to get it right. Most Americans wanted to hear the president tell Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Reid, and the rest of the Congress that it's time to start over on a common sense, bipartisan plan focused on lowering the cost of health care while improving quality. That's what I've heard over the past several months in talking to thousands of my constituents. Replacing your family's current health care with government-run health care is not the answer. In fact, it'll make health care much more expensive. That's not just my personal diagnosis as a doctor or a Republican. It's the conclusion of the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, the neutral scorekeeper that determines the cost of major bills. I read the bill Democrats passed through committee in July. It creates 53 new government bureaucracies, adds hundreds of billions to our national debt, and raises taxes on job creators by $600 billion. And it cuts Medicare by $500 billion while doing virtually nothing to make the program better for our seniors. The president had a chance tonight to take the government-run health care off the table. Unfortunately, he didn't do it. We can do better with a targeted approach that tackles the biggest problems. Here are four important areas where we can agree right now. One, all individuals should have access to coverage, regardless of pre-existing conditions. Two, individuals, small businesses, and other groups should be able to join together to get health insurance at lower prices, the same way large businesses and labor unions do. Three, we can provide assistance to those who still cannot access a doctor. And four, insurers should be able to offer incentives for wellness care and prevention. That's something particularly important to me. I operated on too many people who could have avoided surgery if they'd simply made healthier choices earlier in life. We do have ideas the president hasn't agreed with. We're grateful the president mentioned medical liability reform, and we hope he's serious. We need to establish tough liability reform standards, encourage speedy resolution of claims, and deter junk lawsuits that drive up the cost of care.
Okay, I think we're getting the same thing here from the Republican response that we have been hearing for a while. We will try to monitor that and come back at you if there's anything new and notable in that speech. That was Congressman Charles Bustani of Louisiana responding to the speech of Barack Obama that just finished up the joint session. You're listening to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike all week long. We've got a bunch of guests coming up to discuss the speech tonight. We also want to hear your opinions on it. Our number is 877-520-1150. That's not the normal Mike Malloy number. It's our number out here in Los Angeles at K-Talk AM 1150, where we're broadcasting from beautiful, sunny downtown Burbank. And we will have special coverage all night long of the Obama speech. We'll be able to bring you some clips in the coming hours as Tony Sorrentino here scrambles to put them together and engineer the show at the same time. Much appreciated, my friend. We will be joined momentarily, by the way, by Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress to get his thoughts. He's also a contributor to Howard Dean's book on healthcare reform. Howie, later in the show, we'll be joined by Howie Klein in studio of Down with Tyranny and a great blogger over to Huffington Post. David Dayan, who you may know as D-Day from his blog D-Day, from Digby's blog Hullabaloo, from Calitics, he'll be joining us. Dave Johnson from Seeing the Forest. And, of course, as I say, your calls, your thoughts, your feedback on Obama's speech tonight. Let me hit just a couple of points that he hit throughout this speech, and then we'll bring in Igor Volsky to kick things off. He opened by saying that he is not the first president to take up this cause, but I am determined to be the last, he vowed. We'll see if he's right about that. He hit a lot of the, he spent quite a bit of time responding to critics, to the talking points coming from the Republican side, saying that it's essentially disinformation that's been sent out to people, and that we can't afford to not take action. He says, quote, instead of honest debate, we have seen scare tactics. Some have dug into unyielding ideological camps that offer no hope of compromise. Too many have used this as an opportunity to score short-term political points, even if it robs the country of our opportunity to solve a long-term challenge. He covered a lot of the false talking points, really, that have been used by the right. And he said, and he spelled out his plan that he says has three basic goals. Essentially, first, he says that if you're among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, through Medicare, Medicaid, or the VA, nothing will require you or your employer to change that coverage. Republicans, of course, have said that eventually folks will be forced for some reason to change their coverage, that employers will give up medical insurance for their employees if there's another option available. I'm going to ask Igor Volsky about that, and we'll talk more about that tonight. He said that there needs to be a public option. Now, he didn't demand it. He didn't say that it must be there. He did not say he would veto anything that didn't have a public option. But he says that that's important. And he also argues that this plan of his, whatever it may be, there's four or five different ones in the Senate. There's another one in the House. That it will actually lower the deficit, which you heard just a minute ago. The Republican response said that it's going to increase the deficit. Who's telling the truth? I don't know. But actually, during the speech, someone at some point yelled out lie right in the middle of the speech. I'm not sure. It might have been Glenn Beck. What, do you have that clip? Let's see if we can hear what he was talking about. The illegal, that's right, he was talking about illegal immigration and that, that essentially that illegal immigrants would not get health care.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
So I don't know who that was who yelled out lie. I suspect we'll be hearing more about that and hearing who yelled that out in the middle of a joint session to Congress. Where was it you said, Tony, Taiwan, where they actually get in there and punch each other out? Yeah, we could use some more of that. And in fact, of course, I think he's right. Why would illegal immigrants, for example, from Mexico want to come here for health care? They already got government health care back there in Mexico. All right, well, all of this is straight ahead. We're going to get into the details. We're going to break it down. We're going to hear from you. As I say, 877-520-1150. You can also stop by bradblog.com. We've got the chat room open. It's going to be open all night long. Agent 99 is going to be your lovely host there, reminding you who our guests are as they come on and trying to open the doors for you. We'd love to hear your conversation over there, over here, anywhere you'd like to be. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress and begin digging into these details and seeing if, in fact, Barack Obama has turned a corner, has made a difference here, is figured out a way to get the support he needs. So we got a lot to talk about. Substance and politics, all straight ahead on your public airwaves with me, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Mike Malloy all night long. Give us a shout, 877-520-1150. We want to hear from you much, much more all night long right after this.
Listen to the engine moaning out his one old song. Think about the woman. Girl, you knew the night before. But
welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, broadcasting from Los Angeles. Our phones are filling up, but we're going to hit them pretty soon, so stick with us. 877-520-1150. We are live tonight. Just finished up with the Obama joint address to or the address to the joint session of Congress. And we're going to go over to Igor Volsky and start. First, we're going to start with the substance of the speech, what he had to say, what his plan was as he laid it out. We're going to get into the politics of it all as it goes on. And as I say, your calls and, well, whatever else comes up. Igor Volsky is a healthcare researcher, blogger at the Center for American Progress, focusing on healthcare issues. He's also a contributor to Howard Dean's Prescription for Healthcare Reform, How We Can Achieve Affordable Medical Care for Every American and Make Our Jobs Safer. Welcome back to the Molloy Show, Igor. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brad. So it sure sounds like Republicans confused the address to Congress with a town hall, because based on their reaction, That's how they treated it.
Well,
it's just shocking. Shocking their behavior. We now think that the person who yelled "it's a lie" when he talked about health care reform not including illegal immigrants was Representative Joe Wilson from South Carolina. As you saw, also several of them were holding up their health care plans. There are about five of them, five Republican alternatives, so-called. They were holding them up when he was talking about bipartisanship.
Is that what that was? There was somebody else was also holding a sign that said something, but I couldn't tell what it said.
I think the sign said "what bill?" I suppose asking the question, "Do you have a bill, Mr. President?" You know, this was really, I think, shocking, not in its context, not in its substance, but in the way the other side behaved. It seems like that August environment kind of bled into September, don't you think?
I don't think I recall seeing that kind of reaction. Certainly, where somebody yells out "lie" like that.
Could you imagine what they would do if any of the Democrats did that to President Bush?
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. They arrested Cindy Sheehan for wearing a T-shirt during one of contests there. It was amazing. And the response afterwards, from what I could tell, that short Republican response seemed to be a complete contradiction from what Obama had just said moments before, talking about the deficit, promising that this would not raise the deficit one dime and that he would veto it if it would. They put things in the bill that guaranteed that it did not. But before we get there, let's just hit these sort of three major points, Igor. He said basically it was a three-pronged plan that he was pushing for here. Can you help us detail what those three pieces were? The first one with those who have insurance and so forth.
Sure. They released the plan, those parts of the speech, a couple of hours before the address. And I have to say, when I first read those excerpts, I was rather disappointed. There's nothing new in his plan. Everything that he has proposed is in one of the bills before Congress, one of the Democratic bills. So for those who already have insurance, He would institute insurance reforms that would prohibit insurance companies from denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions, from rescinding coverage once your medical bills come in. So in a way, this kind of makes sure that Americans have safe and secure coverage, that they're not at the mercy of health insurers.
And that's Igor, that's not really up for contention. Even the Republicans, I think, want to do away with the pre-existing conditions and bring in those reforms. Do they not?
They do. The counter speech mentioned it, And of course, the president said that this was John McCain's idea to make sure that insurers don't discriminate on pre-existing conditions. So this was in the part of the speech, you're right, where he was calling for bipartisanship and said that there's no debate there. Then we get into another part, which is what you do with the uninsured. You know, many Republicans scoff at the idea that there are 47 million uninsured, which is what the census tells us, about 47 million, because they think many of those so-called uninsured are young people who just aren't buying coverage because they think they're invisible or they're illegal immigrants, and so they try to kind of chip away at that number.
Mm-hmm.
he said in his plan that if you're one of those people who are uninsured, and statistics tell us that about 80% of the uninsured are working Americans who can't afford coverage. So if you don't have coverage from your employer or you're a small business, you can enter what's called an exchange, this new marketplace where private insurers compete for your business alongside a public plan, possibly.
Now, was that marketplace, Igor, let me just get a question in. Was that marketplace he talked about, that's not the co-op option that they've been talking about, right? This is something else.
That's right. That is not a co-op option. An exchange is something that has, again, broad bipartisan support, like the insurance reforms, is actually proposed. I don't know if they came up with this idea, but Heritage, of all think tanks, was pushing the idea of an exchange for many, many years. It's the way federal employees receive health care coverage, including members of Congress. They have what's called a federal employer benefits plan, where they enter into their own special exchange, and then they have private insurers that offer them coverage. So a very similar idea.
Okay, hold the thought.
Not controversial.
Hold the thought, Igor. I was speaking with Igor Volsky about the president's speech. Igor is from the Center for American Progress. Also curious how this plan is, if it looks like the Howard Dean's prescription for real health care reform that you contributed to. We'll find out about that and take your calls. A whole hell of a lot more show straight ahead. Brad, in for Malloy. We'll be back right after this. Stick with us. I know I keep you amused, but I feel I'm being used. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. Oh, I'm like a beggar with no Lord. I'm holding signs up on your street corner, so like most you try not to see me. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program covering President Barack Obama's speech to the joint session of Congress on health care. Did he turn the page? Did he close the deal? I don't know. We're going to be talking about it all night, taking your calls. The lines are filling up, so we're going to get to them shortly. 877-520-1150. Speaking with Igor Volsky right now, Howie Klein and David Dayan, D-Day, is going to be joining us in a bit, along with some other folks. Igor Volsky is from the Center for American Progress, and I still got him here. So, Igor, he talked about some on the left want a single-payer option, some on the right only want minor reform to the private companies, and he's trying to thread that needle down the middle with a public option, but he clearly didn't say that he was going to veto a bill if it didn't have a public option. Oh, do we still have Igor? There we go. Now we've got Igor. Sorry about that.
Well, you know, the public option piece I thought was most interesting. Of course, we heard lots of talk about what is he going to say. Is he going to endorse the public option and side with the progressives in his party? Or is he going to kind of give in to some of this overblown criticism that we've been hearing from the right, the notion that a public option would crowd out private insurance and kind of become a Trojan horse for single-payer health care? And you're right, he didn't take a side. He defended the public option. He said we need it to make sure that insurers are held accountable. But then he emphasized its limited scope. He said that only some people would be eligible for the public option, which is true. But he bought into this Republican notion that if more people sign up, that if a public option becomes larger, has more market share, is able to really be a market player and bargain for lower rates with providers, that that's somehow a bad thing. And I think that's really one of the problems, is that without specifically taking a side, openly taking a side on the public option, he really kind of smacked progressives across the face and said that a public option is important, but we can meet these goals in other ways. And of course, he talked about the trigger. He talked about building a network of cooperatives, which is what Baucus has in the plan he just released. So I would have liked to see stronger language in the section on the public option. It looks like he really fed into that Republican frame that a public option, a large public option, is a problem. But it's only a problem for private insurers.
And
it's
he
not
said,
a problem for Americans.
Yeah, and of course he said that whether it's true or not, I don't know, that the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, estimates that less than 5% of Americans would sign up for that public option, and yet this has been a big Republican talking point where they've said that, if you make any public option available, everyone is going to have to go get it because employers are going to start dropping, health insurance for their employees. Is there truth to that? You know, it's difficult to separate the nonsense from the serious concerns. Is there truth that if there is a public option, employers will start dropping these health insurance plans, knowing that their employees can go get that public option?
Well, not really. If employers stop dropping their plans, which we don't see happening because you'll have an employer mandate requiring large employers to provide health coverage for their workers. It's something the president endorsed in his speech. So the employer mandate really keeps large employers from dropping coverage. The question is small businesses. They are given a tax credit to incentivize employer-based coverage. Again, the president wants to build, as he said tonight, he wants to build on the existing system. So I don't think there's any truth. He's right when he says that the CBO found only about 5%, about 10 million Americans, after 10 years will be in the public option. But again, I want to stress that he could have said that the public option will save the government about $76 billion to $150 billion over 10 years. It will save the government money in subsidies, because the way subsidies are determined in the exchange is you average the three lowest plans, the price of the three lowest plans, and then you determine how much the government gives to the people who qualify for subsidies. So the lower the premium in the public option, the lower the subsidies, the lower the price tag of reform. That's, I want to see a stronger case. He kind of sat back and, again, absorbed some of the Republican talking points and spoke of the public option as simply just another part of his proposal. It is a small part, but it's a very important part.
Well, it is, and so he was not strong on the public option. What he was strong on was what he didn't want, and I suspect progressives are not going to be happy about this. Tony, I don't know if you have this clip queued up, the single payer, what he said. He pretty much just wiped single payer right off the map. He said the left, essentially, you got that one queued up there, Tony? Some on the left want single payer, some on the right. You happen to have that? All right. You can run it whenever you want, run it whenever you got. He essentially.
Now, there are those on the left who believe that the only way to fix the system is through a single payer system like Canada's, where we would severely restrict the private insurance market and have the government provide coverage for everybody. On the right, there are those who argue that we should end employer-based systems and leave individuals to buy health insurance on their own. I have to say that there are arguments to be made for both these approaches. But either one would represent a radical shift that would disrupt the health care most people currently have.
Okay, now, Igor Volsky, did he actually, I have not heard this argument from the Republicans that they say we should end employer-based insurance and send people out into the free marketplace. Is that a false dichotomy there, putting up single payer against this crazy scheme that we should end all employer-based plans?
Well, I don't know if Republicans are overtly arguing for ending employer-based coverage, but certainly a policy goal during the 2008 campaign. Senator McCain, what he did was he equalized the tax treatment between employer-based coverage and if you go out and buy coverage on your own, which would have effectively had the consequence of unraveling the employer-based system, because younger people would leave large employer pools, the costs for the people who are left behind would increase, and eventually employers would drop coverage. So I think most conservatives want to see Americans go up on their own against large private insurers and want to put employers out of the business of providing coverage. I don't think he was wrong there. But I think that kind of rhetoric is his attempt to say that, look, despite what you heard in August, this isn't a radical plan. This is actually the great compromise.
I understand that, but it kind of ticks me off, and I suspect it's going to tick off the folks in the Progressive Caucus, that he put up the single payer plan. John Conyers and Kucinich and so forth have the H.R. 676 in the House, where they're still fighting for that single payer plan. Obviously, it's likely to not move forward, but it's certainly not going to move forward after what the president said tonight, where he just essentially threw it away along with the most far-right cockamamie Republican plan,
You're absolutely right in the sense that the extreme right-wing version of individuals are on their own. It exists nowhere else in the world, because I think other countries understand that the extreme free market version of healthcare simply doesn't work, because healthcare isn't a regular commodity, although regular free market rules don't apply to it. So I think you're right. I think it was a little disingenuous, but I think it was his effort again to say that you have to build on what you currently have. But if you look at the history of how other nations got to universal coverage, they built on the existing system.
Yeah, and of course he went on to say that both of these approaches, we can't start over from scratch now to build an entirely new system. And that is precisely what those of you in Congress have tried to do over the past several months. So he's trying to thread that needle. We've been highly critical, of course, so far here. So, and a lot of the callers on the line are as well. So let me grab someone who liked what the president had to say, and we'll find out why. Let's go to Tony in Los Angeles. You liked the speech, eh, Tony?
Yeah, I did. With the two of you guys, I totally understand where you're coming from, what's going on. But you have to realize you're talking to the average Joe American person.
Yeah.
You all are highly informed. You totally understand. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so what did he say to you that you liked, Tony?
I liked all of it, because basically he did put the Republicans on blast. I still think he did.
Okay.
You know, and the fact of the matter, when you look at it strategically, he took the wind out of all of their sails, because he explained all the points that they made and put it on blast. So therefore, if you keep harboring on that same thing, you look stupid.
All right.
You know, as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
The fact of the matter is, the average Joe doesn't know what you guys know.
Fair enough.
To appeal to emotion.
All right. I appreciate the call, Tony. Thanks. I appreciate it. All right. Well, did that speech, Igor, appeal to, you know, not the policy wonks like you and me and Howie Klein, who just walked in the studio? We're getting him geared up. Did this appeal to middle America to finally say, yeah, this makes sense. These August Tea Parties were crazy people, and I'm fine with the President of the United States. I'm with him.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. It was certainly one of the goals he had to meet, to appeal to Americans, to kind of get them out of this August mood of lies and distortions, and talk about, reframe the reason why we need health care reform. And he framed it in this context of Americana. He brought up Senator Kennedy's letter that he wrote to him once he was diagnosed with brain cancer, that we really need health care reform. It's kind of the great last battle of his career. Certainly had a lot of emotional appeal, especially when they showed pictures of the Kennedy family, Kennedy family sitting there. So I think absolutely he hit all the right emotional notes. I think, again, you contrast that with the way Republicans behave themselves, and it's really, really shocking when you have 14,000 Americans losing coverage every single day, and they're calling the president a liar and holding up their own plans and wearing signs around their necks. I mean, where does bipartisanship stand? And I don't think it stands anywhere.
There's no bipartisanship. There is no center. I'm constantly amused when we talked about appealing to the centrists. There is no center anymore, as far as I'm concerned. Let me get to, let's see, where am I here? Mark in Irving, Texas. He also doesn't, I guess, didn't like the speech, but for a different reason. Mark, what's your question for Igor Volsky?
The president said that Alabama, for instance, 90% of their people were under the coverage of one insurance company.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a young business student in school, and we spoke about this today. We freely trade with other countries in other areas. Why can't we trade just across state lines to open up some competitive business?
I think it's good.
Driving down the prices a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's a good question. The Republicans have been hammering on this. Let's get Igor's thoughts on this. Thanks for the call, Mark. Your thoughts? Is that not a part of his plan, opening this up for competition across state lines?
It is. In fact, you're, under his plan, you would have a national exchange where insurers would go in and compete for Americans from all over, from across the 50 states. Several of the bills have regional alliances that would allow, kind of interstate competition that way. But I think the difference is what the president's trying to do and what the Democrats are trying to do is they want to make sure that competition is regulated, that it's managed, that insurers compete based on quality of care, not based on attracting the healthiest individuals and leaving the sick uninsured, which is what McCain proposed in 2008. His version of interstate competition allowed insurers to circumvent the consumer protections that each individual state has because these things are regulated by the states. So it would have allowed insurers to sell policies across state lines, to relocate in states where there are no consumer protections, to lure young, healthy folks from larger insurance pools into those cheaper policies, and to leave the states with the tough consumer regulations, the states that require insurers to provide maternity care, well, child care, cancer screenings, to leave them with the sickest Americans, the Americans who actually need care. And, of course, those costs would increase and skyrocket.
So, Igor, if I'm...
that works for anyone.
If Igor, so then, if I'm clear, that marketplace he was talking about would essentially do away with the being able to go across state lines to select your insurance option, correct?
Well, the marketplace that Obama's talking about
right.
would establish an interstate market called the exchange, where again, a person from Illinois, a person from New York, could all come to the national exchange and purchase coverage.
Okay, I got to get out for a quick break. Igor Volsky is online. I'm Brad, in from Illinois. Howie Klein is going to be joining us in a second. Your calls 520-877-520-1150. The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Tonight, with our special coverage of the Obama speech, we are going to be, we've got Igor Volsky here for just one more segment. Howie Klein of Down with Tyranny and Huffington Post is going to be joining us. D-Day is going to be coming up in a bit. And more of your calls. Actually, why don't we get one more call before you have to jump out? Igor, sound okay?
Sure.
All right, Igor from Center for American Progress. All right, let's go to Glenda in Claremont, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, Glenda?
Hi, Brad.
Hi there.
And thanks for filling in for Mike.
My pleasure.
I have to say that when they, the dim-witted Dems and the Blue Dogs took the Universal or Medicare for All off the table, they killed any plan of real health reform. And to mandate that everybody has to buy insurance, as far as I'm concerned, that's just legalized extortion.
Is there a mandate, Igor, in this plan?
There is. There's both an individual mandate and an employer mandate.
That's right. And they also, he did not explain that the public will be fined 2.5% on their income taxes if they do not purchase health insurance. And without the public option, that simply is herding people into the same old racketeers that have been gouging everybody. Second of all, that fine can go up to 8% for businesses. Another thing that he said, and I'm very upset that he did not say that he would not accept a plan without at least the public option, but this whole thing basically should be scrapped. This is going to turn out to be worse than leaving it alone. And just one more thing, and that is, he said over and over again that they were going to pay for a lot of this out of the fraud and waste in Medicare, but without ever talking about it, except I understand a few tests. The doctors are the ones, except if they're running too many tests, then that should be a red flag. But the doctors, what are we going to have? A government commissioner who's going to decide, just like the insurance people right now, how many tests the doctors can run. Another thing, he said that in taking away money from the fraud and waste in Medicare. That's how he's going to pay or get the drug prescription charges down, but he's already made a secret deal with Big Pharma behind closed doors.
All good points, Glenda. Very good. You get your own show here. Thanks for that call, Glenda. Your thoughts on her, we just got about a minute left here in this hour, Igor.
Well, I think those fines sound right. I think she's generally correct in the point she makes. Sadly, again, this is another reason why we need a public option, because we don't want to require Americans to purchase coverage and reward those private insurers who got us into this mess in the first place, who have created all the cost shifts because they refuse to provide coverage for so many people because premiums have increased.
And we've only got 30 seconds. Igor, is the plan at this point troubled enough that, like Glenda says, it should be scrapped, thrown out, start over with single payer or something else?
No, absolutely not. The plan that he's proposed that's before Congress will help millions and millions of Americans who are struggling to afford coverage and who don't have coverage. So it's not perfect, but we shouldn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Fair enough. Igor Volsky of the Center for American Progress, much appreciate your thoughts here jumping in. Great job as always. I can tell you, Howie Klein was nodding in appreciation of almost everything Glenda had to say. So we're going to talk with him coming up next. Also, D-Day, Howie Klein's opened up a blog called glenda.blogspot.com. He loves her so much. Thanks for everything you do, Igor. Always glad to have you there at our beck and call.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, much more ahead on the Mike Malloy Show. Man, that hour flew by. A whole bunch ahead, plus your calls, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Malloy. California tonight, sitting in for Mike as the sun sets in the west. Happy to be with you coast to coast and around the globe, talking about President Barack Obama's healthcare speech to a joint session of Congress tonight. We're taking your calls. We're getting expert opinions and, of course, blogger opinions, who I consider to be the most expert of them all, at least if the last 4 or 5 years have been any evidence of that. You can get through to us at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Don't use Mike's normal number. You'll only bother the Malloys. They need rest. They'll be back next Monday. Until then, you're stuck with me. Get over it. You can stop by bradblog.com, jump into the chat room there. Agent 99 is doing her best to keep her eye on the busy chat room. Go to the top, very top item there, and where it says click here to read the rest of the story, click there. It'll take you to the chat room, and it's live, and it's rolling, and it's quite lively. All right, we're going to be joined here momentarily by Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com. Also coming up in just a few minutes, David Dayen, otherwise known as D-Day. You may know him from his work at his own blog, D-Day, or Hullabaloo, Digby's Hullabaloo, Calitics, and everywhere else. I suspect what the big news is going to be here, frankly, is how this jerk from Georgia. Howie, is he from South Carolina? So let's get Howie in here. Howie Klein, ladies and gentlemen, from DownWithTyranny.com.
I'm great, yeah. Brad. Good to be here. I've been following Joe Wilson for a while because there is a virtual civil war going on inside of the South Carolina Republican Party, where the very, very right-wing extremists like Joe Wilson are actually fighting Republicans who are even further to the right.
Farther to the right.
The teabaggers.
This is, and hang on, let me set this up, because this is Joe Wilson from South Carolina. Don't confuse him with the other Joe Wilson of Valerie Plame fame, in case there's any confusion. Actually, seems to have been the one who screamed out lie in the middle of Obama's speech like it was a town hall event. You got that handy, Tone? Go ahead, launch that up.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
Have you ever heard anything like that in a speech like this, Howie?
I haven't heard of anything like this, but I tried to look up to see if members of Congress have been censured for anything that they've done in Congress before, and I found a Democrat from Maryland in 1864... a guy named Benjamin Harris,
yeah,
who was censured for making an inappropriate utterance on the floor of Congress.
Inappropriate utterance.
And I would say what this guy just did was very inappropriate utterance in Congress, in a joint session of Congress. It's unbelievable. I mean, people got thrown out of that of there. I mean, Cindy Sheehan.
Well, yeah, which I had mentioned. Yeah, for wearing a T-shirt.
Exactly. Well, this guy Joe Wilson is from the 2nd District of South Carolina. He's a very, very conservative Republican who's being, he's one of the Republicans in South Carolina that's very worried about challenges from the further to the right, from the low information type teabaggers. He's nervous about that. His whole end of the party is nervous about that. His district has all of Columbia, the state capital,
right,
and it snakes all the way down the coast, all the way down the middle of the state to the coast, to Hilton Head, and he's got Hilton Head as well. And those people are there are decent people in that district, and they must be so mortified and embarrassed that it was their congressman who did this horrible thing. There are already calls for him to be censured. There are people who are asking that he be that he resign. I mean, it's outrageous.
Outrageous. They're calling for his resignation. I mean, you cannot. It is against the law. Not against the law. It is against the rules, the House rules, the Senate rules. You can't go up in a speech, for example, and say, Congressman X is lying. That's against the rules. And I think that's an automatic censure if you do that, or at least they force you to apologize.
Apology isn't enough. That's the wussy way out. I mean, Brad, you hit it on the head a minute ago when you said that these Republicans are bringing these teabagger tactics onto the floor of the Congress. It's outrageous. And it wasn't just him. They brought props with them. Signs. One of those idiots was wearing a sign.
Where's the bill? They were waving, and let me give credit to Igor Volsky, because he was the one who came in right off the bat. He said, I think they're confusing a joint session of Congress with a town hall, with a teabagger town hall meeting. And clearly, we're talking about it, and I guess people are going to be, it will at least bring attention to the issue that he raised about illegal immigration. We heard our sister station down the hall here, one of the spies during the break, told me they were talking about the same point. And, of course, they were saying, oh, it's true. It is a lie that it will allow for illegal immigrants to receive health care. Howie, is that true?
It's not true. In the bill, it specifically says that they can't. I mean, they claim there's not a mechanism that would, send them back to their countries of origin or something. But it says in the bill you cannot get health care under this bill if you're not a legal United States citizen.
To mention, these other countries already have health care. Mexico, they don't need to come here for health care. They've got their own, do they not? No, I believe that they do. They have state right. You're saying it's iffy. Okay. You can tell them.
Some countries have better health care than the United States. Mexico isn't one of them.
Okay, but at least they have state-run, state-paid health care, do they not?
Not as good as the U.S. Possibilities.
So you think that they would come up here potentially for that?
It's a possibility that they would if they could get away with it. But the law that has been the four committees, the three in the House and the one in the Senate, and presumably the one that's going to be coming out of Baucus's committee, all make very, very, very clear that this is only for you legal U.S. residents. They're very, very, very concerned about that. Brad, I went to the one Alhambra teabagger / town hall meeting.
Right.
And I was there all day. I got there 4 hours before it started. And the single biggest issue that, and it doesn't come out so much in the media, but it's a bigger issue than anything else, for the people at least at that at that one
right.
was about illegal aliens. That's all they talked about, is that this bill is going to let illegal aliens have health care. And they would be screaming, read the bill, read the bill. And when Congressman Schiff said, I have read the bill, I helped write the bill, and it's you're not allowed to give health care to illegal immigrants, they all started booing him. And screaming, read the bill, liar, read the bill, liar. I mean, they get worked up by maniacs like Glenn Beck
right.
and Rush Limbaugh over this, and that's what they believe.
Well, there's no question about it. And, of course, South Carolina, I don't know what Stephen Colbert is back, I think, next week. He's going to have a field day because South Carolina is going nuts. Last night we had Mike Rogers from Page One Q, who had just reported on his outing of Andre Bauer, the lieutenant. What? You can tell. What? You outed him first? I outed him way first.
All right. And not only did I out him way first, the South Carolina press totally covered me outing him on another blog.
Did they?
Where?
All right.
Well, what happened was there's a member.
You got to tell me quick because I got to get
a Democrat who's running for Congress said that Lindsey Graham and the lieutenant governor and the president of the state senate were all gay. And it was in our blog, and it got reported widely all over South
Smartly
Carolina.
Done. All right, so we give you credit for that. We've got a philandering governor. We've got a potentially gay lieutenant governor who hates him. You have to stop making faces. We're on the radio, Howie.
I'm making them for you, Brad.
I'm not supposed to repeat. Well,
no, when you say potentially.
I know. That's what you were saying. No, it's not potentially. He is. All right. So they're going against each other. Now you got this wingnut who yells out liar, Joe Wilson, congressman from South Carolina. And he does it because he's being challenged in the primary by a guy who's more to the right than him. Let me take a quick call. Then we're going to bring Dave Dan in after the break. D-Day is going to join us here momentarily. Michelle from Lansing, Michigan.
Hey, Brad. How are you doing, my man?
Is this Michelle from Corrente?
Yes, sir, it is.
Great to hear from you. How are you, darling?
Good to hear you, baby. So glad to see you here.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and say I want to represent all those Americans who, one, didn't have the time to listen to the speech today, because, two, what were we doing? We were on the phone all day and all night with, what? A healthcare insurance company. And, gosh, I am not satisfied with the fact that I could not participate as a Democratic American, and at the same time I was told a whole mess of, well, a bad word.
What were you why were you on the
money to do something that they don't want to do?
So you were on the phone, Michelle, just dealing with your health insurance company because you had a problem?
Not mine, because I take care of other people who have health insurance that supposedly is guaranteed and preserved by the government, but in fact is not. And without their supplementary care, they would not receive essential services that keep them alive. And because I am the person in this family who has the ability to make those phone calls where sick elderly people are not, I make them. And I have no idea what Obama said tonight. I didn't read the draft of the speech. Somebody emailed it to me, and I just didn't have time because I was working with who? Large health insurance that rhymes with Schmoo Cross Mercy.
Okay.
Who were really busy trying to tell me that, you know, the thousands of dollars my elderly family members have paid don't really count for anything. And, you know, it's just one of those, like, injections of reality that I hope someone is making into the discussion that's happening tonight. Because, wow, I'm really angry. Because I had planned on watching the speech and listening to your show.
Well, yeah, no, I know. And we're going to try it. I understand. And, by the way, Michelle, thanks for both calling and for sharing that story. I would be interested, if you get a look at it, we're going to be here for the next couple of hours. Feel free to call them back. Let us know what you think of the speech. Read it, whatever, because I'd be interested in your thoughts. We're getting a lot of different opinions.
Well, I skimmed some comments and some blogs, you know, with some communities that I trust, and it doesn't seem like people are completely overwhelmed or anything. So I'm going to guess it's more the kabuki, you know, yes, no, I'm not really saying what I'm not saying kind of stuff, which, you know, frankly, this one speech would not have affected my opinion of, in the sense that the last 3 months or so, we've had nothing but confusing messages from the White House, from the Democratic Party, from the DLC, from, you know, all supposedly Democratic leadership. And I really believe that anyone can legitimately make the claim that, quote unquote, what is going to happen could be anything.
And I got to get out here, Michelle. I will give you this note, though, that CNN snap poll said that 72% thought that Obama clearly stated his goals. So maybe something's cleared up out there, whether people like it or not.
I hope someone will tell me what it is.
We'll find out.
I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Michelle from Corrente.
I'll talk to you soon.
Good to hear from you.
You too.
We're going to be back with Howie Klein. D-Day is going to join us immediately after the break. More of your calls, a lot more health care, bitching and moaning, applause, anything you like. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike, talking about the president's healthcare speech tonight with your calls. Lots of bloggers, lots of experts. Everyone's an expert, aren't they? Howie Klein is here with me in studio from DownWithTyranny.com. And Joe Wilson, the congressman from South Carolina who yelled out, "You lied," has apparently now apologized of sort.
It wasn't a real apology. He was sorry if he hurt any of his colleagues. I mean, it wasn't a real apology.
If he heard any of his colleagues, he was sorry. All right. Let me get to David Dayen, otherwise known as D-Day, from, his own blog, dday.blogspot.com. Also, he blogs over at Digby's Hullabaloo, Calitix, everywhere else you can find him. Hey, David, I understand you're freshly married, are you?
I am. 1 month anniversary was yesterday.
Congratulations. Smartly done, sir. What did you think, D-Day? What did you think of the speech tonight?
Well, aside from the town hall meeting that broke out in the middle of it, I actually thought it was a pretty good night, a good speech, and a good night for liberalism, which got a cameo appearance there at the end of the speech when Obama, in a move reminiscent of when Dean Martin would, during his show, open the door and Frank Sinatra would show up, pulled out a letter. Not literally, but figuratively speaking, from Ted Kennedy.
Right.
This letter that he had apparently handed to him to be read after his death. He mailed it in May, and it talked about that we need to deliver health care as a fundamental right and not a privilege, and how this is a question of character of the nation. And Obama tried to sort of reframe that as nonpartisan, as saying that we all have a responsibility to one another, that we all care for one another, and we all have a responsibility not to see each other, give each other the opportunities that we all should have. And he framed this in a nonpartisan way, but it is essentially an argument for liberalism, maybe small l liberalism, and not the kind of selfishness that we've seen and the kind of Reaganism that we've seen from Republicans, for the last 30 years. So that was a really good moment in the speech, final 10 minutes.
Yeah, small L indeed, because earlier he threw single-payer folks under the bus, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to liberalism. And I don't know if single-payer is considered liberal or progressive or both, but he did toss single-payer. He said he just did away with it.
Well, what he said is that he said that we should build on the system that we have now instead of causing a disruption of the system. And you can take that or leave that. The fact is that if you think that the kind of things that he is proposing, things like a public option, can gradually over time create something that can't be taken away, the principle of universal coverage that can't be taken away, in much the way that Medicare, which was not a fully comprehensive program at the beginning, or Social Security, which was not a fully comprehensive program at the beginning, were expanded over time. I think that's the argument. I'm not making that argument, but I think that's the argument he would say, is that he's trying to move gradually and not cause a disruption to the system.
Fair enough. We're going to talk more about that with D-Day, David Dayen, and Howie Klein. I'm Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Healthcare coverage all night. We got a packed bunch of phone lines here. I'm going to try to get to those. These cats can, you guys can stay with me as long as you like. Glad to have you here. Brad, in for Malloy. Much, much more straight ahead.
I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed?
How's that?
He just grinned and shook my hand. No, was all he said.
Back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. We've got Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com in the studio with us. We've got David Dayan, otherwise known as D-Day, on the phones with us here. By the way, CNN instant poll, according to Josh Marshall over at TPM. CNN instant poll says that the support for Obama's plans jumped 14% amongst those who watched the speech tonight. David, you were a lot more positive about the speech than I think we have been in the studio or even our callers have been. But, well, CNN seems to back up your thinking that 14%
are... I'm looking at it from the perspective of the person who's not obsessively following the debates and just watching at home and wants a little bit of clarity. And there was clearly more clarity in that speech about, you know, what's on offer and what Obama is trying to do than at any other point in this debate. And so for that reason alone, I think, you know, reform support goes up. And that's important to have, you know, the public generally behind the concept. Now, there are, you know, elements of the debate where Obama was, you know, sounded good on paper and sounded good in the room, but it might have been a little more wishy-washy upon reflection. That's the stuff where, you know, the people who are attuned to this debate and people in Congress are still going to have to lead and fight for the best bill possible.
Fair enough. Howie Klein, did he make a difference to those people as you see it? Did he get that message? Whether you like the message or not, did he, as you see it, clarify what this fight is about?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you got me into the last couple of words there about what this fight is about, because this fight goes to a lot of things that he's not going to talk about, because if you want to get to what this fight is really about, it's the power of corporate America to hold the rest of us to ransom to what they want. So that's the real...
That's the broader what this is about.
Right, but if you want to just talk about health care...
It's the policy matter what they're trying to do.
I think he laid out his points very, very well, and I think that he explained it to people who are going to pay attention. Look, the people that go to these tea parties and yell and scream, read the bill, and don't know what they're talking about, or the ones who are, you know, Ku Klux Klan sympathizers, or who held their kids home from going to school the other day on Tuesday because they didn't want them to see a black man as the president of the United States.
And those folks are now going to the Bush speech, by the way. They're being bused to the Bush speech.
Right, the ones in Texas. This wasn't for them. This was for normal Americans to hear directly from the president what he wants to do, for people who had somewhat of an open mind. And I think that when you just read those statistics from CNN saying that 14% people now, 14% of the people who are more inclined to back the president's bill, that I think those are the people he was talking to, and that's a very good thing. But what he didn't do, or what hasn't really been done satisfactorily, was for anyone to explain the differences between the Republicans and the Democrats. I mean, when you get a guy like, you know, originally Boehner assigned this to
that's
to
Boehner. Boehner.
We like to call him Boehner.
I see.
I don't know why, for some reason they assigned it to Matt Blunt. To Roy Blunt, sorry,
Roy Blunt,
the father, who's running for the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
And he backed out after a while and stopped talking about it. And then they gave it over to a schleppy congressman who they hope to run for president someday from Wisconsin named Paul Ryan. So Ryan has really been the point person for the last couple of months on this. And he has a bill, and they like to claim, the Republicans like to claim, well, we also back the end of prior conditions, and we also back the end of rescission. And they say that all the time. But when you look at the specifics of their bills, it's impossible to get rid of prior condition. It's impossible to get rid of rescission because you can't do that unless
according
you have,
to the their bill, their Republicans'
right,
proposals.
Right, you can't do it unless you have everybody participating.
I see.
So unless you have mandates that require everyone in the country, basically everyone in the country, to be part of the system, there's no one who's going to be able to afford to get rid of these things. It would make healthcare so too expensive, and there's no one to pay for it, and not in a public way and not in a private way.
But
well, I don't know that that was the purpose of this speech, though, Howie. Although he was willing to say that Republicans voted to end Medicare just back in April, and there were several points along the line where he just said, "I'm just not going to deal with people who want to, you know, play politics or who just want to kill the bill because they want to hurt me or things like that." And so I think those things were valuable to the average person.
Let me play that clip of him saying that, and then I'm going to get to Gonzalo, who says we're giving right wingers too much time, and then we're going to give a right winger some time with Mark from Glendale. So you happen to have that clip, the Tony, the one about. I just lost the too many people have been playing politics with this. I think it's the one you just pulled.
Instead of honest debate, we've seen scare tactics. Some have dug into unyielding ideological camps that offer no hope of compromise. Too many have used this as an opportunity to score short-term political points, even if it robs the country of our opportunity to solve a long-term challenge. And out of this blizzard of charges and countercharges, confusion has reigned. Well, the time for bickering is over.
The time for games has passed.
Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on health care.
All right, just to be...
Now is the time to deliver on health care.
Now, just to be clear there, I'm pretty sure that was David Dayen screaming liar in the background, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I think it was.
was a second liar?
That was D-Day.
That was me.
See, apparently the time for games has not passed, according to...
You're right, Joe Wilson. Would have had cause to call the president a liar.
That's right. There was another Joe Wilson, and who did call him a liar, as I recall, and he was accurate, that one. And we have someone else who thinks that this one was, but let me give you this apology in full from Joe Wilson, the congressman, who says, "This evening I let my emotions get the best of me when listening to the president's remarks regarding the coverage of illegal immigrants in the health care bill. While I disagree with the president's statements, my comments were inappropriate and regrettable. I extend sincere apologies," there's the word, "I extend sincere apologies to the president for this lack of civility." I think that was an okay apology, don't you think? Anybody? David?
I suppose so.
All right. Well,
I don't
think it was enough?
No, I think he needs to be censured formally.
Oh, no, I think he should still be censured.
He should be.
But I think it was a real apology. It wasn't one of those, if I offend anybody. I think that he says, "I extend sincere apologies to the president for this lack of civility." Gonzalo, however, in San Diego, thinks we're giving too damn much time to right-wingers. Is that right, Gonzalo?
Well... I don't think that we're giving it too much time. We're giving them too much ammunition. You know, today, I am very disappointed. I think the message is still wishy-washy. I'm somebody in the middle, trying to really figure out what's going on. And I hear Obama speaking, and I just don't feel like I can believe him. You know?
Okay, you don't feel you can believe him. What don't you believe, or what are you not clear on, Gonzalo?
It's just, like you said, you know, it's time to stop playing politics, but it seems like everybody plays politics. When he talks about even the immigration thing, when this guy, we call him a liar, you know, there's an article that says that illegal immigrants cannot receive
insurance. That's right.
But then there's nothing that will really ensure that will be enforced.
Well, I don't think germs.
Okay. Thanks for that call, Gonzalo. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think germs know borders. I mean, an illegal immigrant goes into the emergency room at this point. They're treated because people sign a Hippocratic oath to protect, you know, and treat people when they're sick. What this bill says is that they will not get federal subsidies to buy health insurance. That's really all it says. By the way, illegal immigrants or undocumented, I don't think anybody's an illegal person, undocumented workers and immigrants access health care at far lower rates than the rest of the country because they're afraid of being deported. So, you know, this is a ridiculous debate. There needs to be comprehensive immigration reform anyway. And anyone who's parroting it is just trying to find a convenient out to not talk about the fact that 14,000 people lose health insurance every day, and people die every day because they can't get access to quality and affordable health care.
And I don't disagree with you, and I think the fact that it's sort of a side issue whether they deserve health care or not, I think it's a human right. I think we all deserve health care, period.
Absolutely.
But it's very specific in that bill where it says they the federal dollars will not go for this. Yeah, Howie?
We'll not go to subsidize them to have a plan. But let's be real. If you're a parent, or if you have a relative who's a child in school,
yeah,
and you have people in school who are sick, regardless if they're legal or illegal immigrant, you don't want your child sitting in the school with somebody who's sick.
You would want them treated.
Absolutely.
Of course. I would hope so, too. However, Mark from Glendale agrees with Joe Wilson, Congressman Joe Wilson, and says it is a lie. Mark, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm okay. What do you mean it's a lie?
Well, first of all, I'm not a right winger like you alluded to before the Obama clip.
Well, my apologies for my I extend my sincere apologies for my lack of civility.
And we'll see if you're a right winger after you talk.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, first of all, I'm a registered independent. I don't like either party. I mean, they're both messed up. But I do commend this man, albeit not the right place and definitely not the right time. I don't think it should have been done during the speech.
But you commend him for yelling out lie?
I commend him for calling Obama a liar.
Why?
Because I'll make 3 points.
No. Take your best one because we got to get to a break. So make it good, Mark.
Okay. Well, I have read H.R. 3200.
Right.
All 1,018 pages.
Yeah.
Nowhere in that bill does it have any enforcement whatsoever. On top of any amendment brought on by the Republicans to specifically deal with illegal immigrants being eligible for government-sponsored health care was voted down on two different occasions.
Okay, let me let Howie or David, who wants to respond to this on this enforcement issue, because I think the bill is clear that dollars won't go. The distinction being made here is that the bill says the dollars cannot go to an undocumented alien. There's no enforcement. It doesn't say what happens if dollars do go. Is that
no.
What's being said?
There's no enforcement as far as them getting the health care coverage from the government. There's no requiring of a license or governmental ID or legalization papers or nothing. It's not about the dollars. It's about them getting the coverage to begin with.
So they can walk in and get on this plan, you suggest. They can get on this plan because nobody's going to ask them for their papers? Is that essentially what you're saying?
Right. And you don't give identification when
David?
You go to a doctor. They they don't give you identification. And at that point, they would be denied coverage under the thing.
Well, not only that.
Really? No?
Hang on. We got Mark.
Hold on a second.
Mark, hang on. Pot him down for a second. Mark, I want to get David's thoughts, and I will go back to you. David, you said what?
Well, it's just lunacy. I mean, you are required to provide some form of ID when you try to access your health insurance and use it. There's a larger question about enforcement within all of the bills. I have a big problem with the way that the regulatory framework is set up. You know, we have all these insurance regulations in the bill that say that they won't be able to not take you for pre-existing conditions or rescind your policy if you get sick. But all of the regulations are at the state level, which is, maybe not a good way to do this. And there are some concerns, legitimate concerns, to be had about that. But this enforcement issue is a big red herring.
Okay.
One more thing.
I can give you 20 seconds at best, Mark.
Page 133 says that if anybody, any single person in any family is eligible, the remainder of the family is eligible. So essentially, an anchor baby who was born on U.S. soil is eligible for this health care plan.
which means her entire illegal family is now eligible.
Well, there's no illegal families, but we'll try 131 on the plan, right? We'll check it out.
That's one of five bills. And Brad, I mean, the whole concept of anchor baby is so disgusting that if I were you, when some right-wing lunatic like this one that you have on the line calls up and says that, you should just hang up on him.
Oh, he's gone. He's already gone. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy with Howie Klein in studio. David Dayan on the phone, along with your calls, 877-520-1150. Lots of chat at the chat room. We'll be back.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time...
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-727-7838. That's 1-800-727-7838. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-727-7838. That's 1-800-727-7838.
When you support the advertisers that support this station, you're doing a good thing. Not only are you supporting local small businesses, you're investing in your community and the future of this great state. And if for some reason you find a business that doesn't advertise on AM 950, tell them that they're missing out on the most influential and loyal listeners in the Twin Cities. For a complete list of businesses that support this station, or to find out how you can get an AM 950 bumper sticker, visit am950ktnf.com.
Dancing can be fun and easy. Whether you dream of dancing the tango or the salsa and want to learn in a friendly, supportive environment, visit dancerstudio.com. And with our exciting membership packages, you're invited to attend unlimited group classes and Friday night dance parties. Find out more by visiting dancerstudio.com. At Dancer Studio, the only thing we like more than dancing is teaching others how to dance.
Ron Reagan. Irrational would describe anyone who actually wants President Obama to fail. Wonder who Newt had in mind. What's this world coming to when some bloviating radio hack who's never stood for election or taken responsibility for actually doing something get away with styling himself a political leader?
Ron Reagan. Weekday evenings at 7 on AM 950 KTNF. The voice of Minnesota.
When you dine at the Signature Cafe, you're not only enjoying a delicious meal, you're supporting a local small business. You're helping local farmers, wineries, and the community. The Signature Cafe and Catering, independently owned, environmentally friendly, and community-minded. For reservations, call 612-378-0237 or visit 130 Southeast Warwick Street in Minneapolis.
An experience worth savoring. The Signature Cafe and Catering.
September. That means back to school. A day for labor, a new season. This is Jim Wishner with an invitation to join us Saturday mornings at 7 on The Connection, our weekend community conversation. So pull up a chair, grab a cup of your favorite early morning beverage, and bring along a good dose of common sense and a fair share of skepticism. Your weekend connection this Saturday, September 12th at 7 on The Voice of Minnesota.
Garrison Keillor will be appearing at Common Good Books on September 25th from 1 to 3 p.m. to sign copies of his new books, 77 Love Sonnets and Pilgrims. This event is open to the public and free to all. For more information, visit commongoodbooks.com or call the store at 651-225-8989. Common Good Books, reminding you to live local, read large.
The Mott Foundation and the Ad Council.
right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Malloy. Got Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com in the studio. D-Day, otherwise known as David Dayen, from D-Day, from where else? Digby's Hullabaloo. Thank you.
Hey, Brad.
Is on the phone with us, so we're finishing up with him. Yes, sir, David?
I got something for you.
What do you got?
I looked into what this guy was saying, this anchor baby thing.
All right, hold the thought. I just want to let folks know they can reach us, 877-520-1150. Talking about the president's health care plan all night long here. So David's just with us for a few more minutes before he has to get out and do something much more important. What do you have? What did you find there, Dave?
Section 242 of the House bill, which is what this guy was talking about, does not allow adults, illegal immigrants, access to health care through their children. It's yet another lie and distortion in this debate that President Obama sought to cut off tonight with many of his statements.
And I want to add to that's one of the five bills. That's not the bill. 3200, sure. That's Waxman's bill. And, you know, I was on the phone today for a long time with a congressman from Massachusetts, Mike Capuano, who's a very progressive congressman and who's going to be running for the U.S. Senate, the seat that Teddy Kennedy isn't holding anymore. And he said he's not happy with that bill. There are a lot of compromises in the bill, and there are a lot of things that are wrong with that particular bill. None of these bills are the bill. I mean, this guy who thinks he's so smart because he read all 20 billion pages of Bill 3200, that doesn't mean he knows anything. That's just a working document that they are going to wind up merging with the four other bills that are being talked about.
Fair enough. Let's go to Robert in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Robert, got a quick question?
Hey. Once again, I love your show. You know, what really irritates me about progressives is how they kind of dance around the truth, regardless of what the issue is. I mean, here you've got healthcare executives getting $1.6 billion payouts. I mean, why didn't Obama talk about just how unrighteous that is? I mean, think about how many people he had to deny care to make a profit for his company and then get this huge, lavish reward of $1.6 billion. That's what scares me more than universal health care, making sure, or even caring for the alleged illegals. I mean, health is a natural condition of the human being with proper nutrition. And I think that's a big issue that people need to focus on, is alternative health care, preventative health care. And I don't hear this being talked about. In Germany, by law...
Well, he talked about, and I'm sorry, I have to get to a break here real quick, but thanks for that call, Robert. Obama did talk about the fact that there would be no more charging for preventative care, for mammograms, for colonoscopy, and so forth, for regular checkups under this plan. I don't think it's fair to beat up on progressives. The progressives have been going after these corporations.
And when that guy just said that, something about these crooked CEOs of insurance companies, I tweeted while that was going on, I was tweeting away like I'm doing right now.
Don't tell me the tweet yet. I want to give David Dayen his last thoughts because I got to get out in 20 seconds, and we'll come back with Howie sticking with us. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, he was strong in the issue of going against the insurance companies, but he could have been stronger. I mean, I'm doing some work for Brave New Films right now, and their Sick for Profit campaign. And I've learned all kinds of things like this. Like the CEO of United Health has $750 million in unexercised stock options. I mean, it's outrageous the profits that they receive. And, this bill goes some of the way into making it a more honest system. But I tend to agree that it does not go far enough.
I really appreciate your time here, D-Day. We will get Howie's thoughts on the other side of this this break. David Dayen, also featured on page 218 of Bloggers on the Bus under the name A My DD Blogger. Well done. Go enjoy your 1 month anniversary, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, brother. Back for more. Healthcare Night with Howie Klein and Dave Johnson joins us. Stick with us. Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy today, covering the president's speech. Special coverage tonight of his healthcare speech to a joint session of Congress. I will be in all week long, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, and Mike and Kathy will be back on Monday. So we are, I appreciate you truth seekers putting up with me till then. We will be joined momentarily by Dave Johnson of Seeing the Forest. I've got my color man, my wingman right here, Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com in studio. A couple of facts we need to clear up. Of course, what's getting the headlines, and of course we are to fault because we're also giving it the headline, is this jackass Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina, who yelled out, "You lie!" in the middle of the speech on the House floor. Yes, he has apologized for it, but it has caused much discussion about whether the any of these bills, take your pick, will actually pay for immigrants, illegal immigrants, to have health care on the federal dole. Well, we had a caller who said, oh, go look at H.R. 3200. Well, in fact, Section 246 of H.R. 3200 says, this is a section titled, No Federal Payment for Undocumented Aliens. So you get an idea what it's about. It says, nothing in this subtitle shall allow federal payments for affordability credits on behalf of individuals who are not lawfully present in the United States. Seems pretty damn clear to me. Now, that sets aside the idea of whether undocumented folks actually deserve health care. I would suggest they do. Howie, earlier you made a good point that if your child is going to school with someone, whether they're undocumented or not, and they've got the swine flu, you'd probably like them to get treatment, I'm thinking. So never mind whether it's right or wrong. It's pretty damn clear here in this H.R. 3200, which is the bill that that caller referred us to, the section entitled No Federal Payment for Undocumented Aliens.
But it doesn't
clear enough.
The loons are angry because it doesn't say that there's a way to punish them if they try to get it, or if a doctor treats them or tries to get reimbursed or something, then they don't go to jail or there's not a sentence. You know, they'll never be satisfied. You know,
and not only that, Howie, but if that was a serious concern, Obama talked about, if you have legitimate concerns, bring them to me. He said, quote, my door is always open.
They're obstructionists. They don't want to cooperate. They don't want a place at the table. All they want to do is obstruct.
Course.
That's been their only legislative agenda and their only strategy. You know, they had this.
And do you think for a second, Howie, that if, you know, they did come in and say, oh, we're worried that there's no enforcement here, but if you put it in, we'll be happy to support the bill. In a second, they would add that. Of course.
You know, they had Bustani, this fool from Louisiana, give the official Republican response today.
Yes.
But you know what the real response was? The real response today was from Joe Wilson. That was the real Republican response when he yelled out liar.
Liar.
That
yeah.
was the Republican response.
All right.
And that's what Obama is talking about when he's so frustrated that he can't get any kind of cooperation from these guys. Earlier I told you that Senator David Vitter,
yes.
the guy who was caught in the sex problem with the prostitutes, sent out a tweet a little while ago. I'm going to read it now.
Yeah.
How about this? Just left Obama speak, disappointed. He's not listening. Louisiana doesn't want big government option. Well, that's just what they said when FDR tried to pass Social Security. They don't want a big government. They don't want Social Security. That's why they voted against it. They don't want Medicare. The conservatives don't want anything that helps working people. That's the way they are. They want to stick with the status quo. They want to support elites. They don't want any vision of a road towards equality for working families. And that would be David Vitter, and that would be the Republican Party, and that would be conservatives.
And two-thirds of the folks who watched the speech, according to, I believe that was CNN, said they liked the speech tonight. And Obama, during the speech, said, I am not the first president, this is speaking to your point here, Howie, I am not the first president to take up this cause, but I am determined to be the last. It has now been nearly a century since Theodore Roosevelt first called for health care reform. Fair enough. We might be optimistic that he's going to be the last. But the point is, yeah, they've been the Republicans have been putting out the same crap, like David Vitter there, long before there was Twitter. They've been putting out the same garbage. Let me get to PC in St. Pete, Florida. I appreciate you holding for so long there, PC. I'm going to get to Dave Johnson in a second. PC, welcome to the Molloy Show. Oh, do I have? Oh, there we go. Sorry.
How y'all doing tonight?
We're okay, PC. What's up?
I'm going to be completely honest, and I'm not going to be willfully, wishfully thinking here, but it appears to me, stop and logically analyze his speech like my wife and I did.
Yeah.
And he made it perfectly clear that he wants a mandate, and when he was campaigning against Hillary Clinton, okay, he pulled away from her because the young people and the people that don't want a forced mandate to buy too expensive private racketeering health insurance don't want one for a good reason. So then he really lied about that, and he's
let me be clear, PC. Let me be clear because your phone's not great. What did he lie about? Short term.
He said during the campaign that he would not have a mandate. He would not go along for a mandate to force us to buy health insurance. He says it was against his principles. And you can go back and check me on this. This is a fact.
No, I think you're right because Hillary Clinton was in favor of the mandate. Yes. Obama was not, correct?
And Obama pulled away from her because he wasn't for that. So here's what this is doing. He's trying to steer this thing. He's trying to appease the corporate Republicans and the insurance lobby and all these people he's made deals with in secret with the drug companies. And this is the bill that they said at December that the big health insurance companies wanted.
Thanks.
The ones that spent over $375 million. And he didn't stand and say, I will not sign a bill unless it has a public option. He made a point of saying that there will be no federal money used for the public option that will be in if it's in. He didn't say it was going to be guaranteed, and he didn't say he'd veto it if it wasn't in there. He made it clear, though, there wouldn't be any federal money going for that. It would have to stand alone on its own. He also said that people that have insurance cannot get the public option. If you've got insurance now, you're stuck with it. You're stuck with the corporate garbage. And these people keep talking about pre-existing conditions, how wonderful it is he's going to take that out. But the devil's in the details. He didn't say that we're not going to let them charge an exorbitant price to people that have a pre-existing condition if they have to be kept by the insurance company. And he also never said one thing about the premium increases, the double-digit premium increases since George Bush was in, and the premium increases that were a higher percentage when Bill Clinton was in from 93 to 2000.
All right.
So this guy, listen, guys, listen to me. Let's deal with reality. We got the momentum in the people here, and the media, my wife and I have been watching all the media, and they're all saying the same thing. The mainstream media is saying he's got to leave out the public option. So Obama is letting us down. He never put single payer on the table. It's just like Nancy never put impeachment on the table. These people are frauds.
Thank you,
PC. I'm not going to go along with this.
Okay, good job. I don't disagree with you. Thanks for the call, PC, and thanks for holding so long. Much appreciated. Howie?
He made a lot of good points there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't agree with everything he said, and I don't agree necessarily with the direction that he was taking it.
Right.
But he's right about his analysis of what Obama left out and what he didn't talk about. And like I said earlier to you, Brad, the fact that corporate America, the corporations rule America, is an underlying problem in this and in everything else, and it's the real root of all of these problems. And he didn't go after it. And when he said, you know, I don't want to destroy the corporations, I don't want to destroy the insurance industry because they have a role, he's wrong. They don't have a role. They have no role. There's no value add from the insurance companies. Zero. Not a thing. They take out billions and billions of dollars from our healthcare system, and they offer nothing in return. Nothing positive. Plenty of negative.
I don't disagree with you. Over in the bradblog.com chat room, some folks have been saying the same thing there. Throw it out. Go back to Kucinich's HR 676.
Yes.
Single payer. Just doesn't seem to be a reality. Obama pretty much threw it right under the bus today. saying, do you have that handy, Tony? Do we have to go look for that? Where he talked about single payer on the left wants the single payer.
In the very beginning.
Yeah, I think we got that. Play that for us quick, then we'll go to a break.
There are those on the left who believe that the only way to fix the system is through a single payer system like Canada's, where we would severely restrict the private insurance market and have the government provide coverage for everybody. On the right, there are those who argue that we should end employer-based systems and leave individuals to buy health insurance on their own. I have to say that there are arguments to be made for both these approaches. But either one would represent a radical shift that would disrupt the health care most people currently have. Since health care represents one-sixth of our economy, I believe it makes more sense to build on what works and fix what doesn't, rather than try to build an entirely new system from scratch.
Well, there goes throwing them under the bus, frankly, throwing single payer under the bus, equating with a crazy right-wing thing. That's the way it goes. I don't see single payer happening unless somebody raises some hell. Brad Friedman in from Mike Malloy. Dave Johnson from Commonweal Institute is going to be joining us in a second. Howie Klein sticking with us. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad in for Malloy. We're talking about the president's healthcare speech tonight. Getting lots and lots of opinions. I don't think we're finding any one particular thing we can agree on. Although, if you trust CNN, and they are the most trusted name in news, they say that 2/3 of the people who watched the speech tonight liked it. They said that, where's that number? 72%, I think, thought that Obama was clear. They understood what he said, what he spelled out. So, Howie Klein, who's here in studio with me, maybe we're just too picky. Maybe we're just too wonky.
No, tomorrow Fox will confuse them, and Lou Dobbs will confuse them, and everyone will confuse them, and those 72% will turn into 27%.
Here to unconfuse us, I want to bring in Dave Johnson of SeeingTheForest.com. He's also a fellow of mine at the Commonweal Institute. He's Commonweal Institute Fellow, focusing on the relationship between corporations, labor, and democracy. He's also a fellow with the Campaign for America's Future. You're a lot of fellows, Dave. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Brad? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for jumping in tonight. I want to get your quick impressions here, because we've got a lot of callers. We want to keep you on and get your thoughts for the rest of the hour, if you want to stick around. Your quick impressions on the president's speech tonight.
Well, I hope you noticed how we had him change the end of his speech to go along with what I was going to come on and talk about tonight. So that was a pretty good deal we did there.
No, I did not. How did we change the end of his speech, Dave?
We're going to talk about government and values a little bit. So, So I called up and got them to change the end of the speech to do a rousing support of what government is supposed to be about. And I really appreciated that he did that. I was one of those people who was getting pretty darned upset with feeling like progressives might be getting betrayed here. I thought he did a solid support and explanation of what the public option is and what it's about for regular citizens. I'm very happy with the speech, I have to say.
Well, all right, glad to know it. Let's see, what you were talking about somewhat at the end here, he said, this has always been the history of our progress. In 1933, when over half of our seniors could not support themselves and millions had seen their savings wiped away, there were those who argued that Social Security would lead to socialism. Well, that sounds familiar.
Yep.
But the men and women of Congress stood fast, and we are all better for it. In 1965, when some argued that Medicare represented a government takeover of health care, members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, did not back down. They joined together so that all of us could enter our golden years with some basic peace of mind.
Not too many Republicans.
Well, he did want to make a big deal out of that because, you know, if he gets one Republican here,
right,
it's a bipartisan bill.
You were just quoting Ronald Reagan, by the way. He was the one who campaigned against it and said it was socialistic.
That's right. Yeah, they famously put out a record. So you feel, Dave Johnson, that he spoke to the concerns you had, the things that he hadn't been speaking to previously.
I very much feel that. I feel like he turned things around tonight.
Okay, we'll see.
I was a skeptic, and I'm a very happy guy tonight.
All right. Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Let me get in one quick. John in Los Angeles is not quite as happy as you. John, you got 30 seconds.
No,
what's up?
No. Hello, fellow truth seekers. I'd like to know if it's time for us to burn our health insurance cards yet. Because with all the flowery rhetoric that Barack Obama, the president, said, he still made no comment of any kind of concrete action he would take, and instead suggested that people who did go without health insurance were irresponsible. Well, quite frankly, I think it's irresponsible to have health insurance and continue paying into this system that works the way we all know it does.
All right. Thanks, John, for the call. Was he all rhetoric and no action tonight? Was he not specific enough, or was he specific enough, Dave Johnson? Uh-oh, I lost Dave. We got to call Dave back. I don't know how these phones work. Howie, was he specific enough for your taste, whether you like what he had to say or not? Was he specific enough?
Yeah, you can't get too specific on these things. You know, obviously, the congressmen shouldn't all know what's in the bill, and the public only wants to know that we have a strong leader who's going to fight for what he believes in and give a brief outline of it. I think he did that well. I liked the speech, believe it or not. I would, in terms of substance, obviously I would have liked to see him say something more about the public option.
Mm-hmm.
I feel... Are we getting off? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, wait, now I got to get to a break. With Dave, we're going to get Dave Johnson back. And thanks, Howie. Sorry to cut you off. Brad on the Molloy Show.
Please tell me, pretty mama, honey, where'd you stay last night?
If you are among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, or Medicare, or Medicaid, or the VA, nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage of the doctor you have. What this plan will do is make the insurance you have work better for you.
Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Program. Brad in for Molloy. Howie Klein in studio for just another second or two with me here. Dave Johnson, I believe I've got him back, and sorry about that, Dave. I won't do that again.
Okay.
Dave Johnson from SeeingTheForest.com and my fellow Commonweal Institute fellow. Dave, the question that I wanted to ask you, then I've got a comment from Steve Audio, more calls. Was Obama specific enough for you? You liked the speech. Was he specific enough in the things he laid out?
I think he laid out the broad principles, and the ones he laid out, I think, hit the notes I needed to hear. The only one I'm concerned about is what the wonks behind the scenes call affordability, which means how much people are going to have to pay for it. I mean, they're going to make you buy insurance. And and then they're talking about how they're going to try to save money on this, which what that means is, though, that the insurance, instead of taxing the rich and big companies to give us something, they're going to tax us, basically, by making us buy it. So that's my concern. The public option is really important because it's the battle, it's the big battle between the corporations and the public, I think. But I really think that's behind the scenes. I think when this hits the public, when it passes, and when the public has to live with it, what it's going to come down to is, what do I have to pay for this?
Let's talk about this this mandate, because a caller earlier said that everyone's going to be mandated. They're going to have to buy into the system if they don't have insurance. Why, Howie Klein, do we have to force people to buy into this program? If they don't want insurance, why do they have to have it?
There are a lot of reasons, Brad, and I'll tell you some of them. First of all, if everyone agrees that getting rid of this whole pre-existing condition thing is important. Imagine that they'd say, okay, that's illegal. You cannot have that any longer.
Right.
What that would mean is that everybody in the world, everyone in the United States, would then say, oh, I'll just wait till I get sick. And then I'll get the insurance.
Oh.
So it's not economically feasible to get rid of pre-existing conditions, to get rid of rescission. It's not economically feasible unless everybody is part of the system. Otherwise, the only people that will be part of the system are sick people. All the healthy, especially young healthy people.
I understand. So they would say, well, I'll just buy health insurance when I need it.
When I'm sick.
Right.
Yeah.
So that you have to get them into the system to make the pool, as you say, large enough to afford to pay for the people who are sick.
Universal. That's what universal is. Now, the other side of this argument, by the way, is that the mandate without, at the minimum, a public option is just a joke. Because then what you're doing is you're giving all of these crooked, horrible insurance companies who shouldn't even exist, you're giving them all this business, and what are you getting in return? You're getting nothing. I mean, that was, for me, I liked Obama's speech, but the part that I hated was when he said, I don't want to put the insurance companies out of business. They have a role to play. Well, they don't have a role to play. They're a negative force, and they should be put out of business, and Obama knows it.
Lucien in Portland says the mandate is a giveaway to the insurance industry. Lucien
is right.
Maybe it is. Lucien?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. Now I got you. It's a giveaway to the insurance industry?
Yeah, my point is, even if we add about 80% of the uninsured, which would be about 40 million people, at a really great rate of $2,000 a person per year, you're throwing $80 billion of cash flow through the insurance industry, of which they're going to keep 20% at least.
But, Lucien, what of Howie's point that if you don't have a mandate, then nobody bothers to get health insurance until they get sick?
Again, I come back to the point, why are we giving that much more money to this industry?
So the answer is no mandates for...
It's just the expanded to Medicare.
Yes.
If people are uninsured because they can't get it somewhere else, they should just give them the option to go to Medicare.
And Lucien is exactly right.
Take the private care out of the system. Lucien.
They should just make... All this bill should be is just an expansion of Medicare and just have done with and stop all these game playings. A lot of this has to do with Rahm Emanuel trying to make sure that Obama would continue to be the candidate who's gotten more money in the history of the United States from Wall Street, from the medical industrial complex, and from the insurance industry.
When he said as much, he said we're going to have to rely on these guys for re-election.
That's right.
Oh, don't get me started on Rahm Emanuel. Steve Audio adds in the bradblog.com chat room tonight, our old friend Steve Audio, by the way, blogger, great blogger here from Los Angeles, says, hey, Brad and Howie, considering the amount of suck that the trad mead was laying out this week, I think that's traditional media, I think the speech was pretty good, says Steve. Clearly, single payer, a la French model, or heavily regulated insurance, a la Swiss model, would be better. But truth is, we ain't going to get that soon. Dave Johnson, is that a fact? No matter how much sense single payer actually makes, we ain't going to get it anytime soon?
I don't see it happening yet. We've got a lot of things to get out of the way first. I mean, look, think about the history of this. They finally passed Medicare. And think about this. It's illegal. We are prevented by law from even paying what it costs to get into Medicare. Because, okay, they finally raised enough support to pass this Medicare, but only for people who are 65 and older, because they needed to maintain a market for these insurance companies to feed on, basically. That's why we can't get it. So extend that to now. We're fighting the same battle. They're desperately trying to find ways to keep people having to give money to these companies. And it's all fogged by, you know, all kinds of arguments and everything, but it really comes down to this American division we have. I call it on my blog, who is our economy for? And here we are. This I think highlights the problem here as best as anything I've seen in a long time, this healthcare battle.
Let me, before I let you go, Howie, if the idea that single payer is just can't happen right now for whatever reason, move the ball forward, can public option at this point happen? Can they get that passed, or are they going to have to go to reconciliation and do it there?
Well, I mean, hopefully reconciliation will allow them to pass single payer. Yes.
I mean, there is not single payer. You mean public option.
I'm sorry, public option. Yeah. There are 65 progressive Democrats who have signed a letter to Catherine Sebelius and a letter to Nancy Pelosi saying they will not vote for the bill without single payer, and that they will not vote for the bill through...
Public option, without public option.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's late.
Single payer.
I hear you.
But yes, for the public option.
Yeah.
So those 65 Democrats, plus the Republicans who will all vote no,
right,
plus the blue dogs who are against it, there are
right,
43 of them, are against it, then there's no bill. So if he doesn't keep in single payer, there will be no bill.
You mean public option?
I mean public
if
option.
He doesn't leave
you
input.
Don't really want me here anymore.
You're right. You're exhausted. Get out of here. But wait. So you mean there will be no bill? But if there is public option, can that pass? Is there any way that can pass without reconciliation?
What's wrong with reconciliation?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying, is that the way it's going to happen?
Sure.
Because it can't pass. They can't get 60 votes here, can they?
They cannot get 60 votes.
But if a public option is in
Senate, to pass a bill in the Senate, you need 51 votes, not 60. 60 is this false thing that came up about automatic filibusters.
Right.
But this is a financial bill, and it could pass with reconciliation.
Yes, I love that. I can't remember who it was. One of the senators said, well, we shouldn't do it in reconciliation with only 51 votes, because then we have a minority bill. Huh? 51's a minority? Howie Klein from downwithtyranny.com. Thank you, sir. You are released.
Thank you.
Be on your way, my friend.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good job as ever. Okay, let me get some more calls. And Dave Johnson is still with us from seeingtheforest.com. Well, let's see. I'm trying to find a good call here, or someone who's been on for a really long time. All right, let's try this one. Steve in Burbank.
Hello, Brad. Hello.
How are you, sir?
I was hoping to be on last because I inadvertently always try to throw a monkey wrench into thinking processes.
Well, don't do that. You got to give. I'm going to clear these phones, get everybody in, so give it to me in 30 seconds, my friend.
Okay, Tom Right Winger. Every time they say, they're not a right winger, they are. It's proven. And he's so worried about these illegal aliens and now undocumented immigrants. Let's tone it down a little bit more and call them fellow human beings. United States citizens go to Canada. Seniors are loading up on buses to get generic medications. Everywhere over the world where Americans are, where there's decent health care, no problem, just ride in. So everybody has to take care of us, but when they come over here to do something, oh no, we can't have that.
Yeah, and Canada, I think, needs to build a wall to keep out the Americans. Thanks, Steve, for the call. I appreciate it. Dave Johnson, what of this? What of this deal that has supposedly been made now with the pharmaceutical companies that Obama made? You're an expert in this, the cross between corporatism and government. It sounds like a dirty deal to me, frankly, Dave.
I think it was Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, who said that was like an affront to democracy that they went ahead and did that. I think that was one of those Rahm Emanuel behind-the-scenes things. He's our guy we love to hate right now, isn't he?
Well, yeah. Yes. Yes, we do. Well, but they did this deal, didn't they?
Well, who will enforce that deal? That's what I want to know. I mean, it's a secret deal between the White House, I guess, and so is Congress bound by it? I think some members of Congress were talking about that. Are they going to asking, well, how are you going to bind me to this? So I don't know what to think about that. I think it's a terrible thing. I think we just sometimes have to live with these facts of the power of corporate money that, you know, and you know what the Supreme Court's planning right now.
With tomorrow's, or no, actually, that was today, and getting taking the restrictions away from corporations, let them give as much damn money as they want to any candidate.
So that gets us in another direction.
Unbelievable. It sure does. Let me take a quick break here. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy program, sitting in for Mike. We're gonna get through all these damn callers, I promise you, after this break. Much more straight ahead.
You are on the road, must have a code.
Finishing up with our live coverage tonight of the, you can keep that playing, I like that, my friend, the president's speech tonight. I want to, we got Dave Johnson on the line. We're going to fly through as many calls as we can. But I want to do my thanks here to engineer Tony Sorrentino. You put in a hell of a day, my friend. Thank you. Very well done. Producer Desi Doyen, screening calls. Ben Birch over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Of course, Agent 99 in the BradBlog.com chat room. How could I forget her? K-Talk AM 1150 for hosting us here. Of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to screw up their show all week. I've enjoyed it. And for those listening, by the way, via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned after this for Head On with Bob Kincaid. All right, Dave, you want to help me clear these phones? We're going to fly through some of these calls. Do I still have Dave Johnson? Oh, Dave. All right. When he gets back, he'll join us.
I'm back.
There you go. All right, Dave.
I don't know what happened there.
That's all right. I'm sure it was our fault. I'm going to fly through these calls here. Everyone gets about 15 to 30 seconds. You can help me out, Dave. Charles in Massachusetts, what's your question? And welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. How you doing?
I'm hanging in.
I live in Massachusetts, and in Massachusetts, our health coverage plan is such that if you're not covered through your employer, you have to purchase private health coverage, and otherwise face a fine. And I can't afford health insurance, and it's actually cheaper to pay the fine. And I'm just wondering if either of you know if the Massachusetts plan is likely something that will be carried on to a national level.
Good. Thanks for the question, Charles. Dave?
I think that the answer is yes, and that's why we need that public option so bad, because it offers an alternative that will cost much less.
Well, all right. But it's still going to cost something, and there is going to be a mandate.
That was my point earlier. Yeah. You know, that's my big concern about this. It's called when you hear the wonks talk about it, it's called affordability. But what it really comes down to is how much money the government's going to put in to help you out.
Fair enough. Tommy in Torrance, California. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up?
Hey, Brent, Dave. Once all the compromises have been made, when can we reasonably expect a final vote on whatever form of reform they present us?
I figure about 2020.
I was going to say anything. I don't know if there's anything reasonable at this point. Thanks, Tommy. Yeah, Dave, we don't really know here how long this is going to take.
I thought they'd have it much sooner, and but I think the summer taught everybody a lesson that the longer you delay this, the more disruptive and in some cases violent it could get. So,
and Obama had talked about signing this before the end of the year, as I recall. I think that is about as close that we have to a timetable at this point.
Yeah, I really don't know.
All right, let's go to Nan in my old hometown of St. Louis. There we go. Hey, Nan, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, my problem with this is the public mandate, which is since 70% of Americans are covered by what's called an HMO, which is nothing more than legalized extortion, I'm going to be forced, I'm self-employed dental professional. In 30 years, I've never had health insurance. I'm going to be forced to buy a policy that is going to be worse than what an HMO is now. And that is, it's obscene.
What, you've been, Nan, you've been 30 years without health insurance?
Yes, I've never been able to afford it.
And so, well, I think the point, though, is if you cannot afford it, you won't have to pay. Do I understand it correctly, Dave Johnson?
No, there's a fine you have to pay at tax time. If you don't have health insurance, you'll pay.
If you don't have health insurance, but what if you cannot afford it, Dave?
Well, there we go with the problem, don't we? In every country except ours, the government steps in and says, look, we're citizens of this country, we're going to get health care.
All right, so let me get to Marge in Los Angeles. So Marge, you got 15 seconds, go.
Okay, I've been an activist attorney for 50 years, including going before the U.S. Supreme Court when it was still a halfway decent court. And I got to tell you, listening to Obama, whom I helped elect, holding my nose and forgetting what I've learned over the last 50 years, what my feeling about the speech was is that if we could go ahead and bag it up, we could have a lot of fertilizer for the home gardens people are starting to have. The truth of the matter is there is no constitutional provision that allows the Congress to go ahead and force people to buy insurance.
Thanks for your thoughts, Marge. I got to get out because I'm running up against the clock. All right, thanks for the call.
Be a battle that gets fought. Let me add something else. When they force companies to buy insurance, you know, that's the reason that a lot of our companies have to move plants to places like Canada. Canada covers the people. Here they don't. Companies have to pay for it, so they're not competitive here.
Our friend, the very smart and wisecracking Zap Kitty, says in the Brad Blog chat room that Obama's speech did was smack the right wingers for their silly stuff, which was something he should have done weeks ago, but they do make a convenient distraction from the corporate looting. Robin, you have 10 seconds, and then I got to get out. What's your thought?
Excellent job, Brad. Talk about can't see the forest for the trees.
Thanks, Robin.
FDR did not get elected a fifth time because he was dead.
I got to go, Robin. Thanks for the call. Dave Johnson, seeingtheforest.com, commonwealinstitute.org. Thank you. Brad in for Malloy. We'll see you tomorrow night.
See ya.